Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 257 of the Mighty Whites podcast. It is 11 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, peak time for doing a podcast. Work schedules are a bastard. Anyway, I'm Jack. I'm joined by Casey.
Now then,
how's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Knackered. Other than that, good. And the good thing about finishing the gap before for an international break with a win is you're just basically in a good mood the whole time.
Yeah, it's been quite nice. We won. England played.
Oh, God, I could not care less. I did watch England and Brazil, but, like, I was looking at my phone half the time. I was like, I wasn't bothered.
No. Really nice scene, as we will get to, well, might as well do it now, Archie Gray scoring on his England 21 debut.
Yeah, we may as well talk about a few international things now. Yeah, Kemon scored very quickly afterwards. He got bumped up. The only thing that, like, would be better from a personal perspective than him scoring on his debut is him scoring on his debut and only actually playing about 15 minutes. Like, that's better. To be honest, you know, if I just want to, like, send him back now, That's fine. We'll worry about other stuff later. But I'm glad to see him start well. Mateo Joseph also made his debut for Spain's under 21, so he is locked in now. So he is a traitor to this fine country.
With his family lineage of English internationals.
Yeah.
And by that I mean being Emil Heskey's half cousin.
Yeah, is it his dad that's Emil Heskey's cousin, or is he? I'm not sure how it works. Anyway, I think the main one to talk about, I mean, Nonto captained the Italy under-21s who won, and I believe that qualifies them. And the main one, because, like, I don't give a shit about the England games because for friendlies, the main one was, with apologies to Glenn Kamara, the Welsh lads did well, beat Finland 4-1. Dan James getting the fourth with a very Dan James goal. Closing down with pace, wins it, sprints away, goes around the keeper, scores. They fully deserved it. Miles the better side. And Tuesday night, they play Poland for a place at the Euros.
The big one.
Other than people who don't have access to something that, because I think it's on like Viaplay or something. But everyone has the internet now. Why anyone would watch England v Belgium is beyond me.
Well, I mean, if you take the aggregate of the delightful displays served up between England and Brazil, match that with the equally delectable display that was served up between Belgium and Ireland, which I did watch because
I didn't even know that game happened.
it did, and what I can tell you is Evan Ferguson missed a penalty. That's what I can tell you about that game. It was not great. And it was my reminder that Wout Faas is Belgian.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is.
Yeah. So I imagine when you put two powerhouses of international football together and sprinkle in nigh on every guaranteed person on the plane for the Euros not being available.
As much as you don't, as much as no one likes to see that, it makes all the sense in the world for all of them.
Oh, yeah. Like, absolutely. If you're Harry Kane, why are you playing in these games?
In fairness to Harry Kane, I did see that. He did roll his ankle.
Nice. It's the television. It's the camera angle, mate. Can't trust mainstream media.
He's just selling. It's a work, brother. Only love HH. I definitely won't watch England Belgium. I'll definitely be watching the Wales game. I'm working at the same time, so I hope it's not too good because otherwise it might distract me a bit. I also, in the final bit of international news, I did watch the second helping of San Marino versus St Kitts and Nevis.
Yeah, how was that for viewing?
It was 0-0, and I would look one first things first. The most important thing: San Marino getting a draw is big. What is it? They've had one win and 9 draws in their 207 game history.
Yeah. You know, what
they don't get many. It's a big thing. But I have to admit, it wasn't much of a watch.
I mean,
Ellis Patton has fucked me up because he has now twice gone to San Marino to watch him play. And it looks lovely. Like, I really want it. Like, 3 days in San Marino, even though they don't have anything else to do, the food's good and the beers are right. So for 3 days, if there's a San Marino game, that sounds like a good trip to me.
It does sound lovely. To be fair, I probably wouldn't mind doing St. Kitts and Nevis. So I'll take either one.
Probably more expensive.
I don't imagine Ryanair are flying close to there. But I assume
it would allow you to visit Booby Island, though.
Wow.
Why do I know that? One day that's going to come up in a pub quiz and you're going to go like, Jack's mentioned this.
Titland. No.
On that subject, by the way, I don't know if I can go yet due to work timings and stuff like that, but Dalton's holding a quiz up at Ellen Road on Wednesday night, a Leeds United thing quiz, raising money for, I think there's two charities. One of them is Andy's Man Club. I can't actually remember off the top of my head what the other one is, but I think it's a tenner a team. So if anyone's about Wednesday night, you should all go to that. It'll be really good.
Very good quiz master that Andrew Dalton is.
Yeah. Yeah. Knows quite a lot about Leeds United, that bloke. Nice guy as well. I also think that he's on the square ball this week. In fact, I have unlistened to podcasts in my feed, so I bet it's out. So that should be good. We didn't really talk about the Millwall game, so we'll jump back to it briefly. In the ground, it was quite tense and quite stressful. But I've said this about a few games this year. If any either neutrals or Leicester/Southampton/Ipswich fans watching will have probably thought that was pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I think it was when we were coming away from the ground, you kind of had the realisation that the biggest save Elan Melier made, I think they were offside.
Yeah, that one from the header.
So you kind of left thinking, like, well, he's not really had to do a lot.
No, they had one little scrambly chance from a corner that I think that Jake Cooper, who should have been sent off maybe twice, hooked wide. And other than that, although they did have shots on target, they were pretty, they were like straight at Melier and they were pretty easy.
Yeah, I thought Millwall offered a lot more once they made their quadruple sub.
Yeah, and they got some legs and a bit of directness through the middle.
And some fresh bodies who could pick up yellow cards.
Yeah. Well, I do think that made a difference because they did have a few players that could, I mean, I say could not make another tackle. They could have. There was no one getting sent off in that game.
Yeah, the referee seemed very determined on there being no second yellow cards.
Yeah, I almost sort of respect it in a way. It was bad refereeing, like it was. But I think that ref's come in going, this is Millwall at Elland Road. There's going to be some tackles lying in. I'm going to have to sort of, you see it a bit with derbies where they just go, I'm just going to lay off a little bit. And they probably overdid it a little bit. But at the end, for the most part, you would rather see 11 v 11 as a general rule in football. Not necessarily when it's your team, because you send them all off from the other team. That's fine. But if as a general rule, if referees are trying to keep 11 v 11 on the pitch, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, I know, again, they would have had to come out and go for it at some point anyway, regardless if there was a red card or not. But you do look at the game up at Huddersfield and just think, Christ, that was dreadful. No more of that, please.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that's like the only game we haven't won this year in the league, and there's still a tinge of disappointment in there because of it.
Yeah.
But Leeds took the lead about half an hour in. Willie Nonto driving forward into a bit of space and smashing a ball home with his left foot. Really, really, really good goal. I mean, you'd struggle in terms of a strike, you're not going to hit it much better. Leeds then missed a fair few chances, not great ones for the most part. The big one was Firpo got to the byline and pulled one back for Rutter in the second half and hit it pretty much straight at Sarkic, which he should have done better with.
Classic Georgie.
Yep. Georgie indeed. but then for the goal, Rutter drove into the box, got it not quite to the byline, but nearly, played it across for Dan James, and then time stood still. And everyone took the sharp intake of breath and then breathed out again and then did a second sharp intake of breath. And then he sort of got it through the defender's legs with a little bit of deflection and scored. Now, because he scored, taking forever was clever because two of the defenders did go past him, went too far. A bit like Craig Forrest, just missed the goal.
Yeah.
That's a reference. You would have wanted to slap him around the face if he'd have missed that because he'd taken that long. But because he scored, it's clever.
Yeah.
Composed Dan James.
I know ultimately he had the ball for 3 seconds. But my God, like you say, did time stand still?
It was at least 30.
Minimum. I've never seen someone stand so perfectly still in a penalty area for such a long period of time with the ball.
Yeah.
It was one of those where I know he's a professional footballer. I know he knows what to do. But we're all shouting, hit it! Just finish it! But no, Dan thought, I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
And wait.
In the end, correct to do so. It was nice to see him get one coming off the bench because obviously it's a bit whichever one of James or Nonto isn't in the team can consider themselves unlucky because like they both are playing well enough to start. It's just that there's two of them and you're not dropping some. Somerville hasn't quite been at his best for the last 4 games, but he's still such a threat that he has to play. Dan James also hit the post late on with a really good effort on his left foot, which looked in for all the world. But because Leicester and Southampton didn't play, Ipswich beat Sheffield Wednesday 6-0. Cheers, lads. Nice of you to put up a fight. Leeds are top of the league by one goal on goal difference. Leicester have a game in hand. Southampton have 2 games in hand. They're 9 points behind. How many points behind Ipswich? One. Now, it's nice to be top of the league. When you were 17 points down 3 months ago, it's nice to be top.
Yeah, I cannot wait for the hilarity of Leicester not getting promoted this season now.
Would be hilarious. I'm going to nail my colours to the mast and say I still think they will.
I don't know. I think they might have Billy Davis themselves here.
Do you think that they thought the job was done?
Yeah, I think so. I think when they came into playing us, job was already done. They were home and dry, and look at them now. Completely shat the bed.
Just the way you said, look at him now. I got, how do you like me now? Yeah, the thing with them, I mean, like Leicester are still favourites for the league with the bookies, and correctly so. But like, it's not long ago that I checked, and there were 16 on. They're 8-13 to win the league. Leeds are 15-8. I must admit, considering there's only 1 point of difference, Leeds being 15-8 and Ipswich being 10-1, sounds like Ipswich might be a touch on the big side and Leeds a touch on the short side, but. You
wouldn't have put money on that there now, Jack, would you?
I haven't put any money on it, so it's winning the league. Now, if you're talking about Sky Bet's not to be promoted market, I don't think I'm the only one, because there hasn't been any games and Leeds have gone from 4-1 to not be promoted to 7-2 to not be promoted. So I don't think I'm the only Leeds fan that's gone,
Something to cushion the blow.
Well, basically, it might make me a terrible fan, but I did the same when we got promoted under Bielsa. If I ever win a bet and it's got, let's say, I win £23, £3 will be going on that market. By the time we got promoted under Bielsa, if we didn't get promoted, it was about £2.50. Not that I'd put on, but I got back. And that's because we were like 16-1 to not be promoted and stuff. I didn't actually have that much on it. But this will be a similar thing. I think I've got about £25 on at the minute through various small bets, money that I do not want. And because I can put the mockers on anything, which is why I'm backing Ipswich and Southampton and Leicester every week, I can put the mockers on anything, and it seems to be working so far. But that brings
us... just won't go away, will they?
No.
Annoying.
They really do. I know that they bang on about it on Twitter, and it can be a little bit annoying. But that they're doing this without all the parachute papers and stuff is really impressive. Like, it really is. They have objectively done brilliant. But obviously, I don't care. Like, the neutrals out in the world probably should all want Ipswich to go up. Not neutral. I not only have a dog of this, I have like the only. It's not just a dog in this fact, it's the dog that you grew up with. It's your childhood dog.
I mean, can I just say that even in a 6-0 win, they still scored in the 90th minute?
Yeah. That's what was so funny about that Cardiff game, that it was like, oh, you've deserved one of them.
But, like, I understand it when you're losing going into the last year. You're already 5-0 up, lads. You don't need a 90th minute goal. You're just padding out statistics now.
I mean, I would say, because, I mean, to be fair, though, it might come down to goal difference. They're still 10 behind Leicester and 11 behind us in terms of goal difference, but that has gotten 5 clear of Southampton. Like, it really might be something. It also really hurts Sheff Wednesday when you look at how close it all is down there. They now, not including Rotherham, who are long dead, they now have the worst goal difference by a mile to Sheff Wednesday. Minus 31. The next worst is Huddersfield, minus 19. Like, that 6-0, although it's running, you know...
Can I just say, I like how we've just written Rotherham off here.
Well, we have to. As I said, not including Rotherham. Rotherham, there's 8 games left. They're 19 points from safety. Close race where not only would it, like, need... It isn't just, oh, they have to... No, like, 9 different teams would have to just not win any games.
I don't know if you've seen that clip doing the rounds of Patrick Bamford talking about the goal against Rotherham, and Rotherham fans say it's moments like this that have put us in this position. And then there's other Rotherham fans who've gone, No,
it isn't though.
Like, don't get me wrong, that wasn't right. That's not why you're where you are.
No, if there's one fan base that knows what this is, it's Rotherham. I mean, they go up and go down every other season, and every so often they'll have 2 in League One or 2 in the Championship. It's just where they are. We are going to do another podcast later in the week where we'll talk about the Watford game, because there's no point doing it until the internationals are done. The one bit that we can talk about is that, by all accounts, Rutter has had successful hernia surgery. And he's been playing with it for like a month, which is weird because he has looked slightly off it for a month. His output has not been down at all. Just visually, he hasn't quite looked the same. But like, he didn't look the same against Millwall, and he got 2 assists. Admittedly, one of them was a bit of a Busquets to Messi assist, where he passes him at 35 yards out and then just does the rest.
I mean, I can say, and I am going to make this comparison, that I think when I was playing football with a hernia, I was playing as well as I normally do, or as poorly, depending on how you want to view my footballing abilities.
Yeah, I don't think it made a difference. It made a difference to you if you had to drive any significant distance.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a long time. yeah. I'll meet him, see if his scar's as big as mine. He probably wouldn't get me thrown out of the stadium at all.
Yeah. Hey, Georgie, just strip off a sec. Just
have a look. Is yours that big?
Well, why are you getting your balls out? How did you find yours? but yeah, when they announced the surgery, they made it sound like he might even be good for, might be okay by the Good Friday game against Watford. I'd be surprised, but you know, we'll see. If he was good by Easter Monday, that'd be a massive bonus, and very sensible to get it done during the international break and pull out of French under 21's duty.
Yeah, good lad. Well done.
Yeah, nice to see. As we're doing the games themselves in a different pod, there is basically one question from this that is going to hurt us. And it's just, right now, looking at everything, will Leeds get promoted?
Yep.
This season?
Obviously.
This is the problem for me and the thing that worries me. I'm far too confident, considering my pessimistic disposition, where I always think it's going to go wrong. I just keep watching us play and thinking, nah, I think we've got this. And I don't like that. I do not like it at all.
I mean, you just kind of look and just think, well, I know I've said this before, but I look at the games we've got left and you just kind of think, eh, yeah, we'll probably be going to be all right here. You know, I know we'll go through them more in depth as the season goes on, but it is Southampton, isn't it? That's the game.
We really do need others to slip up, us to just keep winning it, to be done before then, because I'm not sure I can take it all being on the last day.
Yeah, it's going to be a very tense affair if that's you know, winner take all, winner take all.
If you didn't do it, I would have.
I know.
Had a look, because there are various models floating about, but they're probably the easiest one to do, because it's the one that most people do, is that Opta have run a load of simulations to sort of figure out their percentages. And they have it as title percentage, Leicester 58.4, us 33.1, Ipswich 7.7, Southampton 0.9. And our percentage for the top two is 78.5% of the time. Which,
wow. If ever there's someone that's going to book a trend.
Yeah. So nigh on 4 out of 5 times, Leeds not only get promoted, but do it automatically. And I still have the pessimistic nature. I'd say 3 out of 5, maybe. But that is more than 50%, which is why I think even someone as pessimistic as me is finding it hard to not say we'll do it this year. It also helps that we've got a manager that's done it twice. So you would assume know what to say in these situations.
Well, and with his lovely calming voice as well. I really can't imagine him shouting. You know, when you think about it.
And by all accounts, when he does, he's quite good at it.
I assume from everything I've heard, he's very much a, when I shout, you'll know about it, because I don't do this often.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make it count.
Yeah.
You know, like you just listen to certain managers and you just know that they love a bit of a shout, or like Mikel Arteta, even if he's not shouting, you can picture him speaking really, really quickly and aggressively. I just can't picture it with him at all.
Well, I mean, maybe a calm voice is what you need, though, in this situation. You know, until you're 2-0 down to the... I was going to do Mike Bassett and go 2-0 down to the fucking Mexicans.
Great cheers for bloody Ramirez.
But yeah, it's a weird level of confidence that I don't particularly like having. But that thing that you're saying about the fixtures, I think is fair. Like Watford away on Good Friday. Although, like, they are by no means a bad side, but they are a mid-table side with nothing to play for who've won one of the last five. So you have to be relatively confident going into it. Hull at home, I don't think will be easy because Hull are in decent nick. And the same goes for Coventry away. Sunderland at home, Sunderland are playing terribly.
Blackburn. Yeah, they've fallen out of the playoff picture, haven't they, at this point?
Yeah, I mean, well, they're 12th, but again, they've got 1 point from their last five games, and they are 13 points off the playoffs. So they're not getting there now. Blackburn at home, eminently winnable. Middlesbrough away, which has been moved to the Monday night. That'll be a really interesting one because we'll know what everyone else has done before it. Like, there is a chance that that could be the Swansea game, in a sense. That one where, even though that wasn't where we mathematically secured it, it was the one where you were like, we're really going to do this. QPR away, that's got 1-0 defeat written all over it.
It's a horrible play. I'm saying this as someone who's never been there. I'm judging this entirely from the camera angle whenever you watch a game there. It seems a horrible place to go.
Yeah. I've got a vision in my head. What it is penultimate game, Leeds are away at QPR. If Leeds beat QPR, promotion is secured and we can be relaxed going into that Southampton game and we get beat 1-0. In a game where we at the post, we miss a penalty. And then it's all on the Southampton game. It's so weird that I'm more confident about us beating Southampton on the final day than I am of us winning at QPR. I just cannot see how it goes well.
I mean, I know, obviously, kind of the last QPR game was the last game at QPR was the Bamford penalty miss, wasn't it? Or was it that one?
I honest to God don't remember.
I distinctly remember because I was working, if I remember rightly, I was working at Rotherham United that day and it was on the TV.
I can remember the FA Cup game where we got beat 2-1 and Apo Harmer scored.
Because is it QPR where there's the picture of Bielsa crouching down in the tunnel? That's where that's from,
yeah,
isn't
I think
it?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Bamford missed a penalty. Classic Pat. Much love, Pat, but, you know.
Yeah, don't take penalties.
And it was one of those, I think that was kind of part of the bad run. I want to see if I can find it.
Was it part of that run that culminated with the Forest game?
Let's have a look. So we lost. We went on a run of drew 1-1 with West Brom, lost 2-0 to Sheff Wednesday, lost 1-0 to QPR. We had the win against Millwall. Lost 1-0 to Wigan.
Was that the 3-2 from 2-0 down game?
Yeah. Lost 1-0 to Wigan at home. Lost 2-0 to Forest.
Yeah. Jesus, cat. Look off.
Yeah, from the 14th of December to the 11th of February, we won twice.
Yeah. And that's the difference with this season. That those terrible runs, like we had a relatively poor start, but we didn't actually have that many defeats.
Hmm.
Leicester have sort of had that run before the last couple of games because they lost 3 on the bounce. Southampton have had that run. And Ipswich did have one, didn't they, early in the season where they didn't win in like 5 games.
They actually, I was just looking at it actually. They went on a slightly longer run than us in terms of not picking up many points, but they drew a lot of their games.
Yeah. And they bounced back really strongly.
Yeah. It's one of those. QPR is one of those. It's not one I'd look forward to. I think it's any ground where the camera angle is essentially the hard camera is just pointed straight down to see the game.
Yeah.
Because it's just so on top of the pitch. It's one of those that just looks like a really tight atmosphere. Everything's closed in. And the last couple of times we've gone there, I mean, I know QPR haven't been good for a while, but the last few times we've gone down there, it's always been a really scrappy game.
It just occurred to me to check, not that it's something that I'm worrying about, but I just thought I'd check. We are 24 points ahead of Hull in 7th, and those teams have to play each other. So I believe we are mathematically at least in the playoffs.
Woo-hoo.
Woo.
The promotion season. Sorry, I'm just looking here. I don't remember us playing Al Ittihad.
Oh, just wasn't that like a behind-closed-doors friendly at the start of that season?
Yeah, 22nd of July. We just played Western Sydney Wanderers 2 days earlier.
Yeah, I think that was one of the weird ones. That might have been one of the weird ones where, you know, there was a load of a couple of years ago, there was loads of friendlies that we weren't allowed to watch.
Yeah, despite paying you money.
Yeah, I think that was one of them.
Yeah, very odd.
But so unfortunately, we're both really quite confident.
Oh, yeah, we're going up.
Yeah. Are we going up as fucking champions?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You see, that's the one I disagree on. I still think Leicester will. I still think Leicester will win the league. We have been so good this year. I can't countenance a world where we don't have a couple of bad results. And I think Leicester have already had their couple of bad results, and I think they'll come back from it.
Yeah, man. Arse is gone. Cool. Tell you.
Well, if they were to lose another one, then we might have to have a pod after that's called Arse is Gone. but yeah, I think that will do us for this episode of Mighty Rights Podcast. We'll be back on probably Wednesday, sort of 4-5 o'clock. I think that's going to be our best gap between work shifts for everyone.
Yeah.
As I say, if people can get to Dalton's quiz on a Wednesday, I definitely would. It's years ago. We have been to one of them.
It's one of the uni. Yeah.
Yeah. You did one at the uni years ago and we went to that and it was really good.
I don't think you'd written a book by that point.
No. And that one wasn't Leeds specific. It was football specific. Because I remember one of the questions being, what country did the team Churchill brothers play in? Which, if I remember rightly, was India.
Yes.
Yeah, they're in Goa, Indian League. again, why do I remember that? It's a random quiz question that I got 15 years ago, probably. but yeah, that should be really good if people can get together for it. And we will be back that day in between work shifts. If I can get out of working late, I might even be at the quiz myself. And if I am, feel free to say hi. So that'll do us. I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey, have a good one.
In a bit.